Right, Rabotai. So the haftarah that we do today is the haftarah of Sukkot, Chol HaMoed, Shabbat. And the haftarah is a classic. I don't have to tell you that. It's in chapter 38 in the book of Yechezkel. And it starts on Pasuk Yudchet. This is the well-known Haftarah making a prediction, which is probably unfolding as we speak. And that is the war to end all wars, which we call the War of Gog and Magog. Now, a little introduction on this War of Gog and Magog. So there is a tradition that at the end of time there's going to be a major world war. It's going to make World War I and World War II like child's play. And it's going to be primarily between, according to the Malbim, Bnei Yishmael and Bnei Edom. It's going to be a war of the religions. This is going to be a war that's going to be fought by the two major religions in the world, and it's going to be surrounded regarding Jerusalem. The nations are going to claim their stake on Jerusalem, and they're going to come from all the different countries, and they're going to make a war. Now, we're going to be in the middle of this war, obviously, because it's Jerusalem and it's Eretz Yisrael. This world war we can refer to as World War III. Some have said that World War I and World War II are actually phases of Gog and Magog. And we know that we're in that time because the Zohar Kadosh said, when it talks about the Pasuk Vezacharti et Biriti Yaakov in Parashat Bechukotai, God says, I will remember the covenant that I made with Yaakov. If you look at the word Yaakov over there, it's spelt with a Vav, which is a rarity. Most of the times in Tanakh, Yaakov is spelt Hasir. And the Zohar Kadosh writes that the Vav represents the sixth millennium, and it is going to be in the sixth millennium that God remembers Yaakov, and that's when Gog and Magog is going to happen, and that's when ultimately Eliyahu HaNavi is going to coronate the Mashiach, and then Mashiach, it says, is going to be not only a prophet, not only a scholar greater than Shlomo HaMelech, but he's also going to be a king. And Mashiach ultimately is going to bring world order. After the Milchemet Gog and Magog, he's going to bring world order and ultimate peace. This is an amazing moment, Gog and Magog, where God is going to settle all the open accounts with Bnei Yishmael and Bnei Esav. Primarily, the war is going to be fought in order to take revenge. It's going to be a civil war. Yishmael is going to fight against Esav. And we're in the middle. We're spectating. It's going to be a difficult time, but we're really on the sidelines watching these two nations go at each other. We're not sure, but it probably started already. You know, it started probably when they attacked on 9/11. Probably we started before that. And then we went to Iraq, and went to Afghanistan, and they kicked us out of Afghanistan. So you're seeing, clearly there's a lot of tension in the world today between not the two nations. According to the Malbim, it's the two religions that are going to fight with each other. And Bnei says in the middle. I'd like to point out that the United Nations thought that if they create a body of nations, so they'll be able to, they were able to stave off another war. That's not the case. It's inevitable. And it should be pointed out also that all the people that think that they're going to make peace between the Jews and the Arabs and all that, they're not aware of exactly what the Torah has to say, that there's going to be unrest in Eretz Yisrael. I saw the Sefarim brought down that there's going to be dominance that Bnei Yisrael is going to have over the Arabs, and then all of a sudden there's going to be an uprising, which probably started, they call them the intifadas that we have, but then there's going to be the great uprising, and then Edom's going to get there, stick their nose in, and they're going to come in and fight, and this is going to be the war to end all wars. The Navi's going to tell us some details regarding this war. According to some of the Mefarshim, there's going to be upward than 60 million casualties in the war. Some say actually it's even more. Some say one third of the population of the world will be destroyed. One third will be lamed and or injured, and one third will survive. And it's going to be a sifting process. And ultimately, to be saved from the milchemet of Gog and Magog, you must make the teshuvah, and you must do it immediately. Rabotai, uba l'sion goel ulshabefesha. That at the time of the geula is only going to come through teshuvah. And Borei Olam, at the end of time, as we're seeing, is creating a lot of supernatural events throughout the world. New York never had a flash flood in the history. All of a sudden, we got a flash flood yesterday. Earthquakes, volcanoes erupting, buildings collapsing. Things are going to happen all over the world, and that's God shaking up the world before the ultimate Gog u'Magog, telling the people to make teshuvah. Kalu kol hakitzim. Already all the predictions are have came true. Ve'en Yisrael negalim ela b'teshuvah. According to the Gaon Mevilna and some later Mekubalim, they say that the ultimate war of Gog u'Magog, although it's a process, but the war itself, according to the Gaon, is going to last for no longer than 12 minutes. Now, when he said that, nobody understood how can a war last for 12 minutes. But today that we have nuclear war and all these different types of, poison warfare and Star Wars, so we understand that the world could actually be destroyed in even less than 12 minutes. But he says that that's how long it's going to take. And then ultimately after that war is fought, which it's going to be in our time, this war. This didn't happen yet in its complete state. Again, some of the Mefarshim say that Gog u'Magog, German is part of Gog u'Magog, and we saw what they did already. But there's other nations as well. So the Pasuk says, we start in Perek Lamed Chet, Pasuk Yud Chet, V'haya b'yomahu, it's going to be on that day, B'yom bo Gog al Admat Yisrael. So we're going to learn it that Gog is the king and Magog is the place. So it says on that day that Gog u'Magog is going to come al Admat Yisrael, they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, Ne'um Hashem Elokim, Ta'aleh Hamati Be'api. So the good news is that God is going to be angry. Again, this is to settle all the scores between what the Goyim did to us. We're going to recover a lot of the monies that they took from us over the generations. But ultimately, this after has very great significance to what we're going to say on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, we're talking about this war. The main theme of the Amidah is this war. Because at the end of time, we're going to say, "V'timloch ata Hashem lebadecha me'eral kol ma'asecha." That God is going to be the ultimate king, and there's going to be no more of the avodah zarah. V'harishah chula ba'ashan tichle. And the rishah, which is represented in these nations, tichle ki ta'avir memshelet zadon min ha'aretz. And memshelet zadon, which is the memshelet zadon, is the cruel and wicked government. It's not only referring to the wicked governments of the nations, but it's referring to the Memshelet Zadon of the Samech Mem. The Samech Mem and his cohorts, that's called Memshelet Zadon. And ultimately this war is going to bring down the Memshelet Zadon. And then the Pasuk says, V'yeda kol pa'ul ki ata pe'alto, V'yavin kol yitzur ki ata yitzarto. Everybody's going to come to the recognition that Adonai Elohei Yisrael Malach u'malkuto b'kol mashallah. That's what we're waiting for. This is what we pray for on Rosh Hashanah, for that day of revelation, that God will reveal Himself, the King of Zion, And a lot of what we're praying on Rosh Hashanah actually unfolds in the Haftarah. So when the Pasuk comes along and says that the Amarta, God's telling the prophet Yehezkel, Ko Amar Adonai Elohim, Hineni Elecha Gog. I am prophesizing to you, Gog, who is the king, Nesi, Rosh Meshech V'Tubal, who was the leader of the places of Meshech and Tuval. And the Pasuk says, in the Malbim, I'm quoting here, in the beginning of chapter Lamed Chet, he actually says, Ki Navi Yehezkel, O Niba Yehezkel, Shebaharit HaYamim, Yelachamu Kol HaAmim Saviv Lirushalayim. The end of time, all the nations are going to fight around Jerusalem. V'yiyu alohamim mitzad echad Mitzrayim. So you think that we have a peace treaty with Egypt, that peace treaty is temporary. And there's going to be Ashur and Elam, which could be as Bavel. Shema Yishma'alim. So the Arabs are going to be on one side. V'alohamim mitzad echad is going to be Meshech V'Tuval. Who's Meshech V'Tuval? Nesiche Edom. That's going to be the Edom, Europeans, Americans, Christians, Malchei Safon, v'chulam yehargu ish et achiv. It's going to be a civil war. They're going to fight each other. If you ask me who's going to win, we pray that both sides win. We wish them both, you know, good luck in this civil war. Bidiyuk, exactly. So it's a win-win for us. V'chazal the tradition is that Gog is going to come against Yerushalayim three times. Upo bi'er shne pa'amim. This Haftarah talks about two out of the three. The third time is mentioned in the book of Zechariah in chapter 14. V'gog v'chen eres ha-magog lo yadanu ata mihem. We don't know exactly where it is. We just know that it's referring to the Christians that are not circumcised. V'hem yit'oreru b'acharit yamim, achar shi'yitashvu Yisrael be'eretz Yisrael v'yishbu b'shalva, which is a tremendous prediction. The Navi was saying that at the end of time, B'nai Yisrael are going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Like, you know that for thousands of years, we were not in Eretz Yisrael. So already, it's coming true. B'nai Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael. We have a government in Eretz Yisrael, whether you like it or not. We have sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. And it's saying when that time comes, when you see that we have sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael, know that that's the setup for Gog Magog to come and make their war. Now, what's going to cause them to come against us is Hashem. Hashem is going to instigate it. And the Pasuk says, we're reading Pasuk now, Yud-Tet. Yud-Tet says, Perek, again, we're in Perek. Perek 38.
Lamed
Chet. Lamed Chet is correct. And the Pasuk says, Ubikin Ati, Ve'esh Evrati Dibarti, I'm speaking out of vengeance, and with the fire, my anger, imlo bayom ahu. On that day, what's going to happen? Yeh ra'ash gadol al admat Israel. Ra'ash gadol is going to be a lot of noise. Ra'ash gadol, according to the Malbim, it's going to be ad sha'ra'ash pashet. That could be the sounds of war. That could be explosions. That could be bombs. That could be sonic booms, like we hear. Mirash. There's going to be earthquakes. It's going to be a lot of noise, and there's going to be fear, even amongst the animals, amongst all the living creatures, the creeping, crawling creatures on the ground. Even the inanimate objects are going to be afraid, and there's going to be a toppling of tall buildings. We saw that already. What happened in 9/11? It says even the mountains are going to be bombed. And everything is going to come down. in the olden days, they didn't have weapons that's able to topple mountains and topple buildings like that. So already you see the Prophet was already telling us, and it says, V'ra'ashu mipanai digihayam. Even the fish are going to be startled. V'ofa shamayim, and the birds. V'hayat asadeh, the animals. V'chol ha'nemes ha'romes ha'adama, all the creeping, crawly creatures. V'chol ha'adam asher al-pnei adama, v'nehersu ha'harim. And the mountains are going to be destroyed, leveled. V'naflu ha'madregot. Madrigot could be the like the cliffs that look like steps, that the rocks are jutting out, so it looks like steps. V'chol choma le'eris tipol. All the big buildings are going to fall to the ground. It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous confusion, tremendous pahad at that time. And then the pasuk says, "V'karati alav lechol hare lechol harai cherev," and God is going to call to all the mountains. He's going to call cherev ne'um Hashem Elohim cherev ish ba'achiv tihye ish ba'achiv. The people are going to get so flustered and so confused from the war that the pasuk says it's going to start to kill each other. It's not going to be an enemy from outside. It's going to be from inside. And I'm quoting the words of the Malbim: She'edom v'Yishma'el yilachamu ish be'achiv. So that's it. It's Edom and Yishma'el are going to fight each other. And he says, as I explained in Perek Lamidbet, in Perek Lamidbet, in Yahizkel, the Malbim also went at great length to discuss exactly what's going to happen. Above he said, Gog u'Magog, she'az yit'asifu kol ha'goyim ha'Yerushalayim. He says over here in his interpretation, look at his language, it's unbelievable. Avad bebo'am, when both the Christians and the Muslims come to Jerusalem, Avad bebo'am ya'aseh benhem mehuma. There's going to be a lot of confusion, a lot of tumult. V'yilachamu ish ba'achiv. Haynu Edom v'Yishma'el yilachamu ze bazeh. Now the Malbim says the key words. What's going to be the pivot of this war? Because they have different beliefs. So this is what we call a holy war. They're going to be fighting about the religion. And in that war, God's going to finally judge both of them. It's revenge for all the pogroms, for all the holocausts, for all the inquisitions, for all what the Arabs did to us. Like it says in Zechariah. And they're all going to fall. And the Pasuk says over here that in the beginning it's going to be natural phenomenon. V'nishpati ito bedeber. There's going to be pestilence, that's like plagues. Bedam, there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. Geshem shotef, flooding. There's going to be tremendous floodings and rains. And then after that, there's going to be miraculous things that take place during the war. Number one, the main thing is called Ibnei El Gabish, the El Gabish stones. Now, if you remember, those are the stones that she says, the hailstones that were falling on the Egyptians when the plague stopped, some of those stones remained suspended in midair. And when the Gog u'Magog comes, God is going to release those Ibnei El Gabish. Who knows, maybe there's meteorites there in the sky somewhere, and all of a sudden they're going to fall down on the enemies. And it says, Esh v'gofrit, fire and sulfur. These are all supernatural type of things. Amtir alav, I'm going to rain on them. Ve'al agapav, and their environs. What do you call them? Agapav?
What's agapav?
We're waiting for the English. How do you explain agapav? 22. Amtir alav ve'al agapav. Okay, it's cohorts, meaning it's partners. Ve'al amim rabim, and all the nations that will be with them, asher ito. And at that time, the pasuk says, "Vidgadilti," God is going to become exalted. "Vidkadishti," and His name is going to become sanctified. "Vinodati leneguim rabim," and I'm going to become known to the guim. "V'yadioke ani Adonai." At that point, the name of Hashem, like we say, "Yitgadal v'yitkadash." This is where the kaddish comes from. "Vidgadilti v'yitkadashti," "Yitgadal v'yitkadash," and that's going to happen at the time of Gog u'Magog. The time before Gog u'Magog, God's name is incomplete. Kiyad al Kesia. The name of God is only Yud Ke. However, at that point, when they're going to see the tremendous miracles that happen, V'yadi'u Ke'ani Yud Ke Vav Ke. The name of God is going to be Rabbah. Sheme Rabbah. Shemya Rabbah. The name is going to be complete. Which means, like we say in the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, V'yeda kol pa'ul ki ata pa'al tov, V'yavin kol yisur ki ata yitzal tov, V'yumar kol asher neshama ba'po, Ata bin Adam, Nave al Gog, prophesize on Gog, Amarta, Koamar Adonai Elohim, Hineni Elecha Gog, Nesi Rosh Meshech Vetubal. Here are coming upon you Gog, the Nasi, the king, the head of Meshech and Tubal. Again, this is referring to the second time they're going to come against us. They're going to come against us the first time, and they're going to lose. They're going to go away. And then God is going to put in their mind to come back a second time. So the pasuk says, Vishobapticha. Mazeh Vishobapticha. Right. Lead you astray, which means they're going to be seduced to come back to Yerushalayim on purpose in order they could die there. Vishisiticha. Vishisiticha means I will lift you.
Seduce you.
Oh, seduce you. Very good. Va'aliticha, and I will lift you. Miyarkete Safon, from the north. Va'aviyoticha al harei Yisrael, I'm going to cause you, seduce you, as you said, to bring you to the mountains of Israel. Ve'keti kashtecha miyad semodecha. Your weapons are going to be smitten from your left hand. That's the keshet, that's where they hold the bow. Ve'chitzecha, and the arrows, miyad yiminecha apil. All your weapons are going to be destroyed. Al harei Yisrael tipol. And it's going to be a massive casualty event. Millions and millions, according to some opinions, I said 60 million, according to some opinions, one-third of the population of the world. It's going to be a tremendous World War II, which we thought is the war to end all wars. This is nothing. This is going to be, make the other wars child play, as David Chaim said. Al harei Yisrael tipol, on the mountains of Israel, Gog u'Magog will fall. Ata v'chol agapecha, v'amim asher itach, and all the nations that are with you. And what's going to happen to the bodies of all the casualties? Le'et sipor kol kanav v'hayat asadin etaticha le'ochla. The carcasses of the Gog u'Magog and the armies of Ishmael and Esav are going to be food for the scavengers, for the animals. Al penei hasadeh tipor, there's going to be millions of casualties. Al penei hasadeh, on the open fields. And what does it say? Ki ani dibarti, because I have spoken, says God. Neum Adonai Elohim. Vishlachti esh b'magog. God is going to send a fire. So there's going to be massive fires. Could be these are from explosions. Could be they're from nuclear. Esh is a strong fire. Ubi yoshve ha'im labetan. All the countries that they're sitting now. All the far-off islands that these nations are sitting comfortably. You know, there's not going to be a place in the world that's going to have any peace. The destruction is going to be all over the world. It's a world war. It's going to happen primarily over Jerusalem. That's going to be the fight. But it's going to be a very, very difficult time for the world. And everybody's going to come to the recognition. Even the places that are so remote. And they're going to, people are going to say, oh, I'm better. I'm secure over here. There's not going to be any secure place in the world. And at this point, Bnei Israel are going to recognize my holy name. They're going to make teshuvah. My name is not going to be defamed. Because when Bnei Yisrael are defamed by the Goyim, so it defames the name of God. The Oa Goyim, again, and the Goyim are coming to recognize Ki Ani Adonai Kadosh Be Yisrael, that indeed I am the God of Israel. And therefore, when they see all these wondrous miracles that are going to take place, the Rashi says, Shiflutam Shel Yisrael, when Bnei Yisrael are b'shiflut, are in a low place, Hilul Shemohu, it's a Hilul Hashem. Be'emor, because what do the Goyim say? God cannot protect his people. So when God comes to the defense of his people, so Adrabah becomes a great Kiddush Hashem. Pasuk Het. Hine ba'avin hiyata. It's going to happen. This is the day that I said. And what's going to happen? V'yatze'u yoshve Are Yisrael. Now, Bnei Yisrael are going to be living through it, although the war is not necessarily on them. It has to do with them, but it's not about us. We're going to be in the middle of it, this world war. That's what the Gemara says. You have to do certain things to save yourself from Gog and Magog. The Gemara says, what should you do to save yourself from Gog and Magog? So it says, Torah v'gemilut hasadim, is there different mitzvot, like the Seudat Medavim Malkah protects a person from Gog and Magog. Obviously, Chesed saves a person. And as we said, the study of Torah and, of course, Teshuvah. Now, what's going to happen? The people are going to come out of the cities of Israel. Ubi'aru ve'siku b'neshek u'magen v'sina b'kish t'p'itzim makil yadu b'romah. Ubi'aru b'em esh shem ashani. There's going to be so much weapons that the nations that are going to leave over, and a lot of them are going to be made out of wood, that Bnei Yisrael is not going to need to cut down trees for fuel for 7 years. That means that's how much weapons are going to be left behind. That we're just going to pick up all the wood from the war effort, and Bnei Yisrael will have 7 years of fuel. Lo yisu esim min hasadeh. We're not going to have to take any more wood from the fields. Ve'lo yachtebu min ha'ya'arim. We're not going to have to cut any trees down from the forest. Ki baneshik yibaru ish. From the neshik itself, from the ammunition that the Goyim are going to leave, we'll be able to burn fires. V'shadilu et shodidehim. And then God says all the money and the assets that the Goyim took unlawfully from us over the years, we're going to get it back. V'shadilu et shodidehim. We're going to take the spoils. U'bazizu et bozazehim. And we're going to pillage all of what was left. Ne'um Adonai Elohim. And then the Pasuk says, which is, this is an amazing Pasuk, that shows you Bnei Yisrael's attitude towards Kavod HaMet. That even though these are our enemies, and even though they tortured us for so many years, somebody's going to have to bury the dead. But there's not going to be any of them left over to bury the dead. So who's going to be burying all of the Gog and Magog casualties? Bnei Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, V'haya b'yomahu, Eten legog makom sham kever b'Yisrael. There's going to be a designated spot that's going to be allocated, and it's going to be called Geh Ha'overim. Geh Ha'overim, the valley of the passers, Kidmat Yam, to the east of the Yam, V'hosemeti et Ha'overim. Bekavirusham et Gog vet kol hamona vekaru gehamon Gog. They're going to call it the Valley of the Multitudes of Gog, which means that's where they're going to get buried. Now again, that's going to be a big project for the Chevra Kadisha in order to bury the millions of people that die. V'haya b'yomahu. Ukvarum Beit Yisrael. And Bnei Yisrael are going to bury them. Lema'an taher et ha'aretz sheva chodashim. Wow. It's going to take 7 months in order to bury all of them, in order to get the land purified. That's going to be a 7-month process. So this is a long process, Rabotai. That means even though we said the war might last for 12 minutes, according to the Gaon, but then there's the aftermath. Then you're going to have a year of cleanup. And then what's going to happen? V'kaveru kol ama'ares. They're going to bury all of the people. והיה להם לשם יום מקבדי נאום אדוני אלוהים. What does that mean? That there's going to be an amazing miracle that's going to take place. So the doctor will tell us that one of the major risks when dealing with corpses is disease. Whatever it is, I don't know, cholera or all sorts of infections, especially when you're dealing with millions of them. And there's decay. And they're decomposing. And so the miracle is going to be, the Malbim says, none of the Jews that are going to be involved in this are going to be suspect or subject to any of the magifa, even if they weren't vaccinated. That doesn't matter. They're still going to be saved from this magifa. And the people are going to see the miracle that's taking place. And that's what it means in the Pasuk, that the Anshe, the Cholam is Vayal Lehem Leshem. It's going to be the publicizing Hashem's miracle. Yom Kabedi, the day that God has brought honor. Why? Because as the Malbim says, Hashem Yishmurcha Mekola, and they're going to see the Hashkacha Perati, that God saves them from any Chas V'Shalom sickness from the process. Now, Ve'anshe Tamid Yavdilu Ovrim Ba'ares, Mekabirim Et Ha'ovrim Et Ha'notarim Al Pene Ha'ares Et Ha'ara Mekse Sheva Chodashim Yachkoru. So he says, besides this, besides that we just said that they're going to bury all these people in the valley, Yavdilu Anashim Bitmidut Ovrim Be'eres Ekburat Ha'ovrim, he says, "Ele min atzovim she nodedu v'avru ba'aretz umetu v'magefa v'naflu be'achat ha'mekomot." Right, which means there's going to be a lot of casualties throughout Eretz Yisrael. From all the other nations that came, there's going to be widespread casualties. So we're going to go to all the cities and we're going to bury them. Kedel l'tayir et ha'aretz. It's going to take 7 months. Now, after 7 months already, there's going to be decomposition, and a lot of the animals anyway are going to eat away the bones and whatever's left over. And now, what do they do? Miksat sheva chodashim yachkoru. After 7 months, mazi yachkoru, the yidrishu, they will have to inspect im nimsa atzavot beze makom. Because now, if there's any bones that are still fragmented all over the country, they're going to have to make what's called a tziyun. What's a tziyun? A marker. In order that the people know to keep away from the tum'ah. Ve'avru, and after the 7 months pass, כשיעברו העוברים וראה עצם אדם, they're going to see עצם אדם. That's all they're going to see. There's no more flesh. ובנה אצלו סיון. They're going to put a סיון. What's a סיון? A marker. Now, לחאורה, why do I have to put a marker? The גויים do not מקבל תומעה. So they're going to put a marker so people don't go there for infection. They want you to know there's a dead body there and it could be dangerous. That means, according to the Malbim, the miracle that they're not going to get infection from burying that only is going to last for 7 months. After 7 months, they're going to have to just make the normal ishtadlut and put markers so everybody knows. Al kevre oto mekavrim elge hamon gog. And then the last pasuk says, vegam sham o vegam shem ir hamona v'tiharu ha'ares. So he says over here, Vegam, Rotzilomar, Uchmoshi Yikra, Hage, Gehamon Gog. Just like we said, the place where they bury all the casualties of Melchemet Gog and Magog is the valley of the multitudes of Gog. Ken Yikra Ha'ir, Shesham Natua Olehem, Karov Elage. So they're going to call the area where they, when they camped with their tents, Beshem Ir Hamon Gog. They're going to call that area, this is the city of Gog, that's the city that of the encampment. When they came to fight Yerushalayim, and the ness was that they, so everybody's going to remember that Lizkor Shesham Haya Vesham Nasa Nes Vesham Naflu Udeshamer Min Ha'ir Hazot, and people have to be kept from the city Hatemea Kemador Ha'amim Ubaze Yitaru Ta'aretz. So again, through this they're going to purify the land of Israel. Now again, these are amazing prophecies. When we go to the Sefer Torah, we say Asher Bahar Ben Be'im Tovim. Every one of the prophecies that we're reading over here is emet. We just hope there's a rule that says that a good prophecy has to come true, but a prophecy of Pur'anut not necessarily has to come true. We learned that in the last Haftarah that we studied in Sefer Yonah, where God prophesied Be'od Arba'im Yom Yineven Hepachet, and it didn't happen. Because a Pur'anut, Bore Olam can change his mind if the people make Teshuvah. So even though there's a lot of graphic things that are written, what's going to happen to Am Yisrael at that time? There's going to be a purging process, and a lot of Jews are going to die according to the Nevi'im. Just like when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, there was a lot that died. A lot of Jews died, 4/5. But we're hopeful that if we make Teshuvah, which now is the time to make Teshuvah, because this can happen any day. And already, today it's like, well, somebody just has to drop a match, and already it'll ignite. As you see what's going on in the Middle East, and you see the tensions growing between the United States, again, and Afghanistan, and all what's happening there, and the rest of the places of the world. We're starting to see, if somebody would have told you 200 years ago, a milhama between Yishma'el and Isaac, they have nothing to do with each other. And now you're starting to see that the Arabs, they moved to France, and also they're fighting against the Europeans. And they came to America, and what they did to 9/11. And they're going from all place to place where the Europeans are, and they start to blow up their churches, and so on and so forth. And even in Mitzrayim, there's tension between the Coptic Egyptians and the Muslims. They're always fighting each other. Lebanon, mm-hmm. I think it's the same thing. And you're starting to see now become very strong, but eventually it's come to a head where it's going to turn to a world war. Now, why would we read this on Sukkot? That's the good question, because this is the Haftarah of Sukkot. So I'd like to say over a unbelievable Hiddush that was said from the Gaon Mevilna. You know that on Sukkot, we just learned it in Daf HaYomi, we bring 70 bulls. If you remember the... correct. Now, the 70 bulls actually represent the 70 nations. Now, I'm reading you the Korbanot over here. The Korbanot for Sukkot is written in Parashat Pinehas. לחודש השביעי לקודש יהיה לכם כל מלאכת עבודה לא תעשו וקרבתם עולה אישי ריח ניחוח פרים בני בקר 13 אלים שניים כבשים בני שנה 14 תמיים and 14 כבשים. And then at the end it says וסעיר עזים אחד חטאת. And on the first day they bring סעיר עזים. So the Torah calls the goat that they're going to bring Se'ir Izim. How does the English explain Se'ir Izim? Yud Zayin calls it, and on the second day, now we want to read over here, it's Tet Vav. One male of goats for a sin offering. Okay, goat. But here it calls it Se'ir Izim. Look at the second day, Rabotai. Ubayom Hashini, instead of bringing 13 panim, which they brought on the first day, like we just learned in the daf, they bring 12. And then they also bring a goat. And what does it say? Usir izim. Also it calls it Sa'ir izim. So far so good? Now let's get to the third day. Ubayom Hashini, how many bulls do they bring? 11. And they bring a goat. Usir hatat. Here it doesn't call it Sa'ir izim. It calls it Sa'ir. Says the Gaon of Vilna, an unbelievable Hiddush over here. He says, there's a difference between Seir Izim and Sa'ir. Stam Sa'ir refers to Esav. Esav is Sa'ir, as we know. Seir Izim refers to Yishmael. And therefore he says, now let's do the calculation. On day one, what does it say? Seir Izim. On day one, how many parim did we bring? On day one, we brought 13. So keep the math. We have 13. That's Seir Izim. We can now make a tally of how many Yishmael there are and how many Esav there are. So we got 13 on Yishmael's side. On the next day, it also Seir Izim. Seir Izim is Yishmael. The first day it says, Seir Izim Had Hatat. That's 13. The next day is 12. And it also says Se'id Izim. So 13 and 12 is how much? 25. So far it's 25 to Ishmael, and Esav has nothing. Now we get to day 3, it's 11. And what does it say? Us'ir hatat. Se'ir. Esav's catching up. So we have 25 on Ishmael's side and 11 on Esav. Ubayom revi'i. Now Yom revi'i we're bringing 10. And what does it say? Us'ir izim ehad. Se'ir izim. So we have 25 plus 11 is how much? Plus 10 is 35. So we should be done now with Ishmael. Because if we say that there's 35 of Ishmael and 35 of Esav, so how many do we have on Esav's side?
So far we have...
So far we just have 11.
11.
Good. So now we have how many days left of Sukkot? We have Bayom HaHamishi Parim Tish'a. 11 plus 9 is how much? 20. And it says Us'ir Hatat. So that's Sa'ir. That's again Esav. Go to Bayom HaShishi. Bayom HaShishi is Parim Shimona. So that's 28. And what does it say? Us'ir Hatat. That's Esav. So Esav's catching up. So now what do we got? 28. And then on the 7th day, Bayom HaShivi'i, they brought 7. 28 and 7 is how much? 35. What does it say? Us'ir Hatat. Even. So you see it's even.
A 7.
Exactly. It's 28 and 7. 35. So therefore you have mamash on Sukkot. Already the Torah is hinting to you in the Se'ir Izim and the Se'ir Hatat. The 35 and the 35. Ele barechem, it says. Ve ele basusim. The Hachamim say that you have ele. Ele is Aleph and Lamedheh. Lamedheh refers to 35 of Esav. And the Aleph is the Sar in heaven that's over him. So it's Ille. Now, the Sar of Esav, they're more technologically advanced. So they come with their Rechev. Rechev is their tanks. The Ille, Aleph Lamedei Basusim. The Arabs, when they fight with, they're black stallions, they're horses. And therefore, Ille Barechev, Ve Ille Basusim. It's 35 against 35. And what do we rely on? And we're going to have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these predictions are written on Sukkot.
What happened to 65432?
What is 65432? I'm not familiar with that.
No, you went to 7, right?
We explained that. It's 35 and 35.
Oh, right.
We went through each day. Mm-hmm. If you count the days that it says Se'ir Izim, and you count the days that it says Se'ir, it'll come out exactly 35 parim over here and 35 parim over there, which represents what? And that's why we read this on Sukkot. We read about the Melchemet Gog, because ultimately that's going to be the war between the 70 that are going to come, and ultimately they're going to fight with each other, and ultimately the Geula for Klal Yisrael is going to come. So, Rabotai, this is a momentous moment now for us. I just want to give you a little history in the minutes that we have remaining. We went over the past 2 years through a pandemic. The pandemic began at the end of March, middle of March after Purim, if you remember, in 2020. And everybody became homebound. And we were forced to quarantine. And that gave me a chance to do some projects from home that I always wanted to do, but I didn't have the time. And since we weren't going out, and everything was being done virtually, so at the time, I accepted upon myself certain projects that Bezat Hashem will be able to fulfill. One of the projects I said is that I want to study and teach the Haftarot of the year. And we started with the Haftarah of Pesach, because that was already right before Pesach. And every Friday, subsequently during the pandemic, we taught another Haftarah. And then last summer, if you remember, we came out of the pandemic, but I made my vow already, so we sat down on Fridays, and we studied the Haftarah as well. And the project took about a year and a half, and there's about close to 80 distinct Haftarot. You have to remember, besides the 54 Parashiyot that we have the Hagim. And therefore the Hagim have their special Haftarot as well. We have the Ta'aniyot, they have their special Haftarot. So I'm proud to say that Baruch Hashem, we were able to go through, as now that we're finishing this Haftarah of Shabbat Sukkot, the best Haftarah of Mohammed Gog Magog, we have finished and completed this project. B'chastei Hashem. That's why I brought, I brought cookies over here for our members. Just because I know it's a modest siyum, but to me it's a big accomplishment. We did a lot of hundreds of hours preparing and saying over. So I ask everybody to please participate in this siyum of the Haftarot. I will make the beracha, and then we'll continue. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, b'rei minei mezonot.
Amen.
I know it's Erev Shabbat. School members, Rabotai, many of my members are used to eating lamb chops on Erev Shabbat. But boys, the mezonot. So that was wrong, boys. Jacob, I have your mind.
Thank you, Rabbi.
There's no joke about your Morris meetings?
Sorry, I have to mute the members there. Well, we want to thank some of the members that really helped us. Of course, our member, Mr. Adam Azrak, he helped me as we got, you know, into it. He documented which ones we did, which ones we didn't do, which ones we need to. And he constantly was sending me emails and giving me, you know, data, explaining which ones we have to make up. Up until this week, he said, Rabbi, you got one more left. Haftarah Sukkot, Shabbat. And I want to thank Jaime Dana, also was taking these recordings. And Rico, they're putting them online. And they were sending it out to all the members. So now, we have a full library that any Haftarah, anyone, you could go to, and you could hear an audio version of it with some pirushim on it, with some motivation, and some musar. We went through many, many books, including Rav Pam, Alav Shalom on the Haftarot. We went through the Ben Ish Hai's interpretations. We saw a lot of Rav Hida and Savare Shalal. We quoted Rav Zaitchik, Alav Shalom a lot, Gamliel Rabinovich, a lot of classic books that we use in order to interpret the Malbim, obviously, that we've been using. So I'm very, very grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave me the strength. You know, a lot of people during the pandemic didn't fare so well. But Baruch Hashem, I believe that because we accepted upon ourselves these Torah projects, Borei Olam said, we need to keep this guy in good health and his students in order to see this project through. It's easy to start projects, Rabotai. Everybody in the first day of the project, we're going to start the project. Then what happens usually? You fall out. If you ever heard of the famous statement of the Hachamim, "Hamatchil ba mitzvah, omrim lo gemor." I see Halfon Kabaso there. Baruch Hashem, he also deserves a shout out. And Jacob, they were loyal members, kept me company in the shul. We even came on Purim Day. Purim Day fell out on a Friday. We have to do the Haftarah. We drank, we ate, well, we came to the shul to do Haftarah Parashat Tetzaveh, I think it was.
And the rabbi shaved very well.
Yes, well, I shaved drunk, so if I came in that day, my beard was cut in half, actually. But okay, I wore my Purim costume after Purim. But I'm very grateful that Hashem gave us the ability not to start the project, which is the idea. I know the idea comes from Hashem. No, we don't have any ideas. Ideas come from Hashem. But that we use that free will to jump on the idea and that we completed it. That's why I get excited that we can complete things. The Gemara says, "Hamatchil b'mitzvah omrim lo gemor." When a guy starts a mitzvah, you have to tell him finish it. Why do you have to tell him anything? Because we know the human nature that when he starts a mitzvah, he's gung ho, and then so he needs chizuk from the people. Gemor, yalla, don't fall out, see it through. So Baruch Hashem, I had a lot of the students that pushed me. Gemor, yalla, next haftarah, and it was a good partnership that we had. And Baruch Hashem, now these shiurim will be here forever. That our children and grandchildren and great care of children were able to listen to them. And it's something that doesn't exist online, at least in for our community. And we can post them on iTorah, and we can send it out every week now. We'll start with Parashat Bereshit, boom. Send that after that Bereshit. You can listen to the car, you can listen to before Shabbat.
You can send it out every week.
Yeah, we'll send it out to all our members now. Okay. So at least you'll drive it to work, you pick it up, you get a... So I'm going to ask our webmaster to send that out to our readership and listenership. And I'm very grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. Shehayana v'kiyamana v'giyana l'zimana zeh. My intention was, at the time to make a big siyum, maybe we'll do that. But at least for now, to do nothing, we can't. So just to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like we finished the Haftarah, we accepted upon ourselves, Beli Neder, that we're going to start with the blessing of Dr. Medeb that gave me the advice, and Halfon as well, and Haimi. They wanted to study Shir HaShirim. And they felt that that's a lofty project, and I think it is. And I think it's a project that's good for Fridays also, because Friday is the time of Shir HaShirim. So Beli Neder, as we start the next round, we will tackle the very, very beautiful and wondrous book, The Wisest of All Men, Shir HaShirim, Ashir L'Shlomo. But in the meantime, we can now be very satisfied that we did a great thing. We connected HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Nevi'e Emet, the true prophets, and we pray that the tzaddikim should protect us. All the prophets that we study their words should be melitzi yosher. We're going now to Yom Adin, we're going to Rosh Hashanah. We need all the advocates that we can get. So we say to the Nevi'im, we stuck with you the whole pandemic. We followed your words from Yeshaya to Yehezkel to Zechariah and Yonah we read, and the Hosea, and all the prophets, Yeshua the Nevi, all the prophets in between. We didn't leave any of them. So we say, okay, we studied your words, we promoted your words, we analyzed them as best as we can. So now Yom Adin is coming. We ask the prophets to be Militzei Yosher for us, to stand as advocates for all of our members that listen to the Shi'urim. I'd like to bless also Mr. Freddy Kassab and his wife, with the Shrev Zarahaya Vakayama and Prosperity. They sponsored a lot of these classes early on, and Bezat Hashem, I know it's going to stand for them and their families for a long time. I wish all our members a Mazal Tov and Siman Tov, Mabruk. May we start many projects and finish them, Bezat Hashem, in good health. And I pray that all of our members should have Shana Tova Mborechet, Upsefer Chaim, Berecha V'Shalom Ufanasa Tova, Vishua V'Nechama, Gzerot Tovot, נזכר ונכתב אנחנו וכל עמך ישראל לחיים טובים ושלום אמן. What a way to end the year, רבותיי. What a way to end the year.